A decade has passed since the murder of Democratic and National Committee staffer Seth Rich. Now, the homicide remains officially unsolved, but the questions surrounding the case have never completely gone away. Why has there been years of litigation over government records? Why has the FBI fought the release of certain documents? And what has actually been uncovered in court and what remains unknown? We separate documented facts from speculation. No internet rumors, no political spin, just one attorney who has spent years inside the courtroom demanding answers from the federal government. Joining us exclusively tonight is attorney Ty Clevenger. The legal battle, the unanswered questions, and why transparency matters. I am Scotty Nell Hughes, and this is America First. There are some stories that simply refuse to disappear. Not because conspiracy theories keep them alive, but because unanswered questions do. The murder of Seth Rich is one of those stories. On July 10th, 2016, the 27-year-old Democratic National Committee employee was shot and killed while walking home in Washington, D.C. Police have described the shooting as a robbery that went wrong. Yet nearly a decade later, no one has been convicted. The case, well, it remains open. And as the years pass, the tragedy becomes something else entirely, a national political controversy. Competing narratives emerged. Some were investigated, some were dismissed, others continue to be debated. But underneath all of the headlines lies a simpler question. Should government agencies release records the public is legally entitled to see? Well, attorney Ty Clevenger believes the answer is yes. And for years, he has pursued Freedom of Information Act litigation involving records connected to Seth Rich. Now, his lawsuits have raised questions about government transparency, the FBI's handling of record requests, and whether federal agencies have properly complied with public record laws. This is not only about proving theories. It's about understanding the legal process, what documents exist, what has been released, and what remains withheld, and why. Because whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, or somewhere in between, transparency should never be partisan. Government accountability, well, it belongs to everyone. So joining me tonight is attorney Ty Clevenger. And Ty has spent years pursuing records relating to the Seth Rich case through Freedom of Information Act litigation. His work has placed him at the center of one of the most closely watched government transparency cases in recent years. Ty, thank you so much for joining me.
Good evening, Scotty. Nice to see you.
So, Ty, let's start from the very beginning of this. How did you get involved with this case?
Almost by accident. My youngest brother had been following a lot of the news about Seth Rich back in 2016 during the presidential election, and he kept telling me, you've got to look into this. And so I filed my own Freedom of Information Act request here in New York, got completely stonewalled and blown off, and then decided to file it in a better form in Texas on behalf of another client. And it's been going ever since.
Well, it's interesting because you did get involved in this. You stayed with it for almost a decade, but many people did not know who Seth Rich was, unfortunately, before his death. So let's start at the very beginning. Who was Seth Rich?
Seth Rich was a IT worker for the Democratic National Committee in 2016. And shortly after his death, Julian Assange went on Dutch television and offered a reward for information leading to the death of Seth Rich. And when asked about why, he was told that at WikiLeaks, they protect their sources. And so there have been a lot of indicators since very early on that Seth Rich may have played a role in the so-called Russiagate conspiracy, that he was actually perhaps the source of these Democratic National Committee emails that were published by WikiLeaks rather than Russian hackers.
With your experience, did you know of Julian Assange inquiring into any other sort of, conspiracy stories surrounding those WikiLeaks or any sort of released data? Or is it just this one person that Julian Assange took interest in and that's why they tied the two together?
Yeah, in the entire history of WikiLeaks, so far as I'm aware, this is the only occasion where Assange or anyone else affiliated with WikiLeaks plainly indicated that someone was their source, which makes it highly unusual because one of their core purposes is to protect the identity of their whistleblowers. And in this case, they thought something was extreme enough that a whistleblower needed to be identified.
Well, we all know that that case actually, and everything that WikiLeaks released, actually did have a major effect on what was going on with that presidential election at the time. Have you been able to actually talk to Julian Assange or have been able to contact him? Or he's in his own legal battles internationally. Are they keeping him quite isolated if you inquired?
It's been a long time since I tried directly. I've communicated through lawyers and actually heard from his wife. That's been a while ago and have not tried recently. I figure he's got enough on his plate and he's done enough already. And at this point, the battle is with the FBI and trying to get them to come clean about what they already have.
But Ty, is there even a little part of your brain that's going, maybe this is why Julian Assange is wrapped up so much in what's going on with him internationally, why he's targeted, is because this is a part of a bigger picture that does involve Seth Rich.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this was a core reason why Assange was targeted. I think the guy has been beaten to a bloody pulp by our government, to basically put him in his place, for lack of a better word. So I very, very strongly suspect there is a connection between the two.
So let's go back to how this whole thing works. Walk us through exactly what you have requested from the FBI and their response with each request.
Yeah, so in response to the first request that I filed on my own behalf in 2017, the FBI came back with the botched robbery theory. They told me very explicitly they had nothing to do with Seth Rich's investigation and had no records about it. And in unrelated litigation, the Judicial Watch was filing a FOIA case in DC. They got some emails from the infamous lovebirds, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, who worked for the FBI, where there was a very specific reference to Seth Rich. And so I took that in for, well, and then simultaneously, the former prosecutor, federal prosecutor assigned to the case, the murder case, said in an interview that there was that the FBI had been involved. So after the case in New York had been dismissed based on the FBI's false representations that there were no records, a client in Texas filed a overlapping FOIA request for the same information. And this time we laid it out. You've clearly got records. And so they could not very well deny it. Since that time, well, they've gone from saying they had absolutely nothing to admitting they've got thousands of pages of records, 302 forms, his work laptop, his personal laptop, another DVD full of data, none of which we've really seen yet. It's just been drip, drip, drip. I have learned to assume that the FBI is lying to me until it proves otherwise. They don't produce anything unless and until they're backed into a corner.
Is that the same underneath President Trump as it was under President Biden? I mean, I could see them slowing their feet, obviously, under Biden, but are you getting that same hesitation, or have they been at least a little bit more welcoming underneath this administration? Are they looking for answers?
Yeah, nothing has improved. I have gone from being a strong Kash Patel supporter to a very, very disappointed critic. He has done nothing to fix this problem. I have had people, personal friends, mutual acquaintances, make sure he is aware of this situation, and he has not lifted a finger, as far as I can tell.
Would this not be beneficiary to the Trump administration to find the answer if there was something there? Or at the very least, release all the documents to you to find the answer to say, nope, nothing was, everything's exactly as they reported. Would this not benefit the Trump administration greatly? I could see it hurting the Dems, but I would think Trump would want transparency and a solution.
I would think so too. Yeah, it baffles me. I still don't get it. Why Kash Patel, actually, even in Main Justice, I've had mutual acquaintances there or friends inside of Main Justice who have distributed this information, try to get people to pay attention. all the way up to and including Pam Bondi and Todd Blanche, and nobody lifts a finger.
When you're looking and you're dealing with folks in the Justice Department, both the FBI and also listening, you know, under Pam Bondi, did they change the offices when the new administration came in? Are you still dealing with the same people that you were dealing with the Biden? It's just the change at the top, the appointees become changed, and it's still the same staffers across the board. They're still careers is what they call them.
Frankly, I can't tell. And the reason for that is the way federal litigation works, you typically got a local assistant U.S. attorney who is the only name on the case. And I know that guy pretty well. We get along well. I don't have problems with him. But he doesn't call the shots. The people who call the shots almost always in these types of cases are at the Office of General Counsel for the FBI. And frankly, I don't know who the players are there now or who they have been in the past.
So one of the biggest misconceptions that I think folks have about what is going on in this case is that they wonder that when the litigation happens, that everything now has to be handled by the courts. Are there anybody else that is coming in that is saying, no, we also want a solution to this, too, or we're going to help you, Ty?
Congressman Tim Burchett recently sent a letter to Kash Patel asking for the release of these records. That's a huge development. Very grateful for his involvement. Remains to be seen whether the FBI is going to respond. But until Congressman Birch had gotten involved, there was nobody on Capitol Hill that would touch this subject with a 10-foot pole. Everybody was treating it like it was radioactive.
So one of the other misconceptions surrounding this case is that your lawsuits are actually attempting to basically prove a particular theory about Seth Rich's death. Do you have a preconception going into it?
I don't know any more probably than the average citizen. I mean, all I have is what's publicly available in terms of what caused his death. You know, and I've heard some very compelling arguments about how it may or may not have happened. At this point, I am strictly focused on getting the records to show whether he was the source of the leaks. And my hope has been that if and when we get those records and they show that he was indeed the source, that will prompt the government to actually start conducting a real investigation into his death. But right now, I don't know exactly what happened or why he died.
So then I'm going to bring it back to one of my original questions with it, since you bring that back up about the leaks. Julian Assange and his crowd knows who the leaks are. And like you said, that's the only person they've ever named. What would it help or hurt them? I mean, it's not like they're getting stuff linked to them now, currently in the state that he's in. Would this not be to their benefit to go on and say, yes, Seth Rich was our leaker. He was targeted and killed for his murder. Would that not be beneficial to them? If you were their lawyers, wouldn't you look at him and say, go on and say this so at least we can get this out there and possibly get you a plea deal?
I don't think Seth was the only leaker. I think Assange and WikiLeaks are still trying to protect others who were involved.
Okay. That's a very diplomatic attorney way of answering. I appreciate that one. Okay, last question before we go to a quick break. Is this, you mentioned that your whole goal is to get the paperwork. Is there a bigger picture that you're trying to prove here besides that just doesn't involve Seth Rich, but more about what's happened over the last 10 years within our government?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got other litigation going on, same court trying to get records pertaining to illegal surveillance, you know, the whole Russiagate subject generally. So it's not isolated, but right now this is the one where we've caught the government withholding the most information.
Interesting. Well, I have so many more questions, and Ty, I want you to stay right here with us because when we come back, we're going to discuss whether this case has become bigger, like I mentioned, than Seth Rich himself, and what this actually says about public trust, freedom of information laws, and whether Americans can still count on transparency from their government, regardless of who's in the White House. Stay with us. Welcome back to America First. We're discussing one of the most debated transparency cases in modern America. Joining me once again exclusively is attorney Ty Clevenger. Ty, real quick, I should have probably dived into this a little bit more. Tell me about Seth Rich. Is he the same person that you realized going into it from what most Americans read in the headlines, what the world is seeing about Seth Rich? Or was there something, was he changing from the regular IT person that joined the Democrat National Committee, as some have suggested?
Well, we know from public record that he had begun to have concerns, questions about the way Bernie Sanders had been treated during the primary, which was essentially rigged in favor of Hillary Clinton, and that he was bothered by that. That's really the only major change I know of, other than, you know, since the time that he came on with the DNC as an IT worker.
Right. What about his family on this? Are they asking, are they talking to you? Or in the fact that they're not, is that not also a red flag that they're not looking for some sort of justice, at least somebody to be held accountable for the murder of their family member?
Yeah, great question. And the reason I have to be careful with my answers is because I'm privy to certain information that was covered in some of the civil litigation that his family, or Seth's family, filed against one of my clients. I have, I think since it was, I believe it was 2017, been calling on Aaron Rich, the brother of Seth Rich, to authorize WikiLeaks to reveal what it knows about Seth's role, if any, in the leaks. We do know, as a matter of public record, that Aaron Rich, immediately after his brother was murdered, flew to D.C., and took custody of his brother's personal laptop, which is incredibly bizarre. I have two brothers, and God forbid if something were to happen to either one of them, I don't think my first instinct would be to fly to their home and take their laptop. So there's a lot of really bizarre things that are going on. Aaron has never authorized WikiLeaks to reveal what it knows. And so, you know, draw your own conclusions. Those are the public facts I can talk about right now.
Well, and I appreciate you sharing those, because I don't think a lot of people recognize that. I think most people would think that if a family member had been killed, the family would want justice, would want to know what happened. It's interesting to hear in this case, the family member is almost fighting you in some ways as much as our FBI is to actually get the truth out there. So let's go back to the case. That's something probably something you're a little bit safer to talk about. Would you say that your litigation has actually exposed this broader problem with how federal agencies handle the Freedom of Information Act request? I mean, let's just talk about it. A lot of people say, oh, go do a FOIA request. It's not that easy, and you don't get everything you need.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting you should ask that, because the case where we are seeking the Seth Rich records is called Huddleston versus FBI. We added on to the complaint additional claims, and we're getting ready to request a class action certification based on the FBI's systematic withholding of records. For example, one of the things we discovered in the Seth Rich litigation is they have this internal policy where they classify anything that they designate to be digital evidence as not a record. And so they basically presume to try to rewrite the federal law on Freedom of Information Act by saying, for example, if we get Seth Rich's laptop, any documents on there are digital evidence, and therefore they're not subject to FOIA because we've redefined them to not be records, which is absurd on its face, and I think the court's going to reject it. But we're now trying to assert that as a class action claim to stop the FBI from doing that, because, you know, God only knows how many thousands of documents, maybe millions, they've withheld over the years just by saying, well, it's not a record because we're calling it digital evidence.
That opens up a whole Pandora's box when you talk to issues. I mean, obviously, we're going to continue to evolve with technology since 2016. That's just in 10 years. Can you imagine 10 years from now with the introduction of AI, where we're going to be and what they can do with it and reclassify? You know, this is, I think, what is the most frustrating, is that many Americans, is the amount of time that the government agencies take in responding to your public request. Some lawsuits like yours are taking years. Do you think that is purposely being done in hopes that Americans eventually just forget about it and don't
Absolutely.
Necessarily put the call and that need and necessary that something has to happen right now?
Yeah, they've set it up so they can just drag it out as long as possible. I feel sorry for the average citizen that tries to file a FOIA request. I've been litigating FOIA cases now for 9 years, and I am still learning the dirty tricks and the ins and outs You got bureaucrats who spent their careers trying to hide records from the public. Raises a separate issue. You know, a lot of, actually all 50 states have open records laws. A lot of those states have criminal penalties for government officials who violate those laws. There is no such penalty at the federal level. There is what's called the Office of Special Counsel. It exists to prosecute Hatch Act violations and a few other things, including FOIA violations. In the entire existence of that office, they have never prosecuted a single FOIA violation. And the only penalty is somebody could potentially lose their job. Nobody faces any kind of criminal penalty. So unless a federal judge decides to hold somebody in contempt, there's no downside for all these federal officials who thumb their noses at the law, and so they just keep doing it. And that's not just FBI, that's across most of the agencies.
So do you feel like FOIA is basically just this superficial cover our hide kind of program right now that actually does not produce anything the way it's set up?
To a very large extent, it is. You know, as long as government officials think they can freely violate it without any consequences, then it's going to be at best a hit or miss as to whether you get a judge who's got the backbone and the integrity to force the agency to comply with the law. Other than that, it's you know, the bureaucrats can basically do whatever they want.
Well, to a certain extent, I feel like they're trying to Epstein this case. In fact, they're hoping that everybody that's guilty, that's involved, dies off, or the public lose interest, and then maybe we'll get a story out of what the truth was, what happened in that situation, but it'll be too late at that point. As an attorney who's been around this case, what percentage of hope that you have that you'll actually find a solution and we'll get the answer to this?
I still think it's better than 50%. We've made a lot of progress. I think the judge on this case is close to hitting the limits of his patience with the FBI. And it's my hope that sometime within the next 6 to 12 months, he's going to drop the hammer. And what we've asked him to do specifically is to appoint what's called a special master. That's someone that the court appoints kind of to act as a referee who can take custody of all of these records that the FBI is withholding, and then that third party can go through every last one of them and decide what should be withheld and what should not, and it would the decision would no longer be up to the FBI. So hopefully that'll happen within the next 6 to 12 months, and we'll start getting some answers.
Well, and that will be, and your confidence seems like you're actually over 50% confident that we are going to have a solution. But then what happens next? Do you actually feel like a jail time, justice, a book deal, a made-for-TV movie? What should Americans be watching for as a result from this?
I have no control over what federal prosecutors do, and I frankly don't have a lot of confidence in them, even Todd Blanch at this point. But I have clients who are also friends whose lives were completely turned upside down by this whole, I'll choose the word, scam. And I hope to achieve vindication and justice for them by finally exposing what actually happened.
Well, if anybody can do it, obviously, Ty, you do not give up. And I think America thanks you for that. Thank you so much for joining me today, Ty Clevenger.
Thank you. My pleasure.
You know, the Seth Rich case has become about much more than just one tragic crime. It has become a test of public trust. Not because unanswered questions automatically prove wrongdoing, they don't, but because transparency matters. Americans deserve confidence that government agencies, well, that they follow the law, that they respond honestly to legitimate public records requests, and they explain why information is withheld when it must be. Our constitutional system depends on informed citizens, and that requires openness whenever possible and accountability whenever necessary. Whether future records ultimately answer every question or not, the principle remains the same. Government exists to serve the people, not the other way around. My thanks to Attorney Ty Clevenger for joining us and sharing his perspective on this very important ongoing legal battle. And thank you for watching. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this has been America First.